your loving kindness and for your tender mercies. Thank you for the privilege and the opportunity to bring us here today that we could worship you in spirit and in truth. Thank you for Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Thank you for his great sacrifice and his great love for us. And the opportunity to kneel at his feet and to pray to him and to worship him and adore him. We thank you. Thank you for our church. Thank you that we could pray freely in our church and worship you freely in our church. And now, Lord God, as we gather here to worship you, speak now, for we're listening. Speak to the music, to the scriptures, to the preached word. Speak a word of hope, a word of love, a word of peace, a word of strength, that whatever we're going through, Lord God, we'll be able to run this race. And Lord, take hold of me, the preacher, and let the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of your hearts be acceptable in thy sight, because you are our refuge and our strength, you are our Savior and our Lord. Amen. My sermon title today is The Mystery of Prayer. And you know, I'll begin by, you've seen that the Pope is here, and the Pope is a Christian like the rest of us. He's a Catholic. You know, when I ask folks, if you know, do you go to church, and you're a Christian, and they says, no, I'm a Catholic, I try to tell them that, you know, we are Christians. And this Pope tried to let them know that a Christian means we're followers of Jesus Christ. So we are all followers of Jesus Christ, and what a wonderful Pope this is. I like this Pope. I like the Pope before him also. You know, John II, I liked him too, and this Pope is just rocking the place. And for 78 years old, God bless him. But you notice that he's always asking people to pray for him. Right? He asks several times in the groups, if you've been watching, everywhere he goes, he says to his followers and his congregation and those who follow him and those who don't follow the Catholic Church, please pray for me. Because he knows that prayer is important. We don't always understand prayer. It's a mystery, but it works. It has been working for a long time, and it doesn't always work the way we want it to work, but it works. And because it's a mystery, we don't understand it. But faith in itself is a mystery. We have to trust God. And so I read this reflection, and it goes like this. Amy Knight, single mother of Kayla, Ryan, and Alex, attends White House, Texas First Assembly, and had heard stories of divine healing, but she had never personally experienced or seen one. When 11-year-old daughter Kayla began complaining about ongoing headaches that continued to grow in severity, Amy desperately needed those healing stories to become a personal reality. The headaches grew in intensity. In May, Amy took Kayla to the emergency room. They took an X-ray and noted an abnormality. Amy says, they recommended I see a neurologist. Neurologist fees are high. Due to their level of income, Kayla qualified for Medicaid, but it took weeks for Amy to find a doctor who would accept Medicaid payment. 2 months later, Kayla finally saw a doctor in nearby Tyler who ordered a CAT scan and then an MRI. By this time, Kayla was spending most of her time in bed, unable to get up. Her headaches were nearly unbearable. The doctor in Taylor's case noticed a large white blotch on the MRI, a tumor in Kayla's brain. He immediately sent the peer to see a specialist in Dallas. Another MRI confirmed the tumor had grown significantly. The doctor took me aside and told me that if it continued to grow At its current rate, within 2 weeks, the tumor would cover her brain and Kayla would be brain dead, the mother recalls. The other option was surgery, but there was a 95% chance Kayla would not survive. It was a difficult decision, but I chose to let Kayla, at least have what was left of her life rather than take such a long chance on that operation, Amy says. I told the doctor I was going to leave it in God's hands. Amy told Kayla everything. We're going to let the church pray for you tonight, she said. They would believe together that God would remove the tumor. During the service that night, Senior Pastor Michael Fleming says Kayla sat on the front row pew and he gathered around her. We started to pray. We could feel the presence of God. We prayed that the tumor would be removed and the reports would be changed. 2 days later, Kayla was back in Dallas for another MRI. The doctors soon called for Amy. I was thinking it was bad news, she remembers. The doctor put the MRI in front of me, and I really didn't know what I was looking at. To me, I didn't see a thing. So I thought the tumor had spread across her brain. In fact, the doctor was stunned and was struggling for an answer. The tumor had vanished without a trace, and Kayla's headaches gone as well. The doctor had told me during our visits that he believed there was some higher being, but he didn't believe in God, Amy says. But after he saw these results, he said that if he didn't believe in my God before, he would now. I told him, he's not my God. He is everybody's God. Since the initial report, Kayla has undergone 2 further exams, both giving her a clean bill of health. And so, I wasn't letting God take care of things like I was supposed to. My faith wasn't there as it was supposed to be, Amy says. I now know I don't have to worry about anything. Whatever happens, happens for a reason. God is in control. And so, here it is, a mystery. Does this happen to everyone? Yes. Does it always happen that our prayers get answers that way? No. We don't understand. One writer states, if prayer stands as a place where God and human beings meet, then I must learn about prayer. Most of my struggles in the Christian life circle around the same 2 themes: why God doesn't act the way we want God to, and why I don't act the way God wants me to. Prayer is the precise point where those themes meet and converge. Another writer says, life is not a problem to be solved, but a mystery to be lived. Prayer offers no ironclad guarantees, just a certain promise that we need not live that mystery alone, that God is in it with us. And yes, friends, prayer is a mystery. We don't understand it. We don't understand why prayer is answered one way for one person and another way for someone else. But what we do know and believe is that God answers prayers. We've seen it over and over again in cases and in circumstances. And if we were to look at our own lives, we will see instances, if we are a believer, that prayer does work. It has dumbfounded scientists, because we want to understand it, but it's a mystery. And the text that was read first, the Old Testament text of Esther, is a little complicated text, because we got the end part of Esther. It doesn't give you the beginning story of Esther, so I'm going to take a quick moment in giving you the beginning part of Esther. And it's really, in essence, it's about prayer. And it's about intercessory prayer. Esther, Queen Esther, would be the queen of the people of Israel at that time after Vashti. And Esther was told by her uncle that they were planning to kill all the Jews. I'm summarizing. They were all planning to kill all the Jews. There was a plot by a man called Haman to kill all the Jews. And so her uncle came to her, now that she was in the position of being queen, and said, Esther, you ought to do something. You should go to the king. Ask for help. She did not want to, but he said these words to her. Who knows if you have come to the kingdom for such a time as this? Oftentimes in our life, God will call someone. We are called as Christians to pray for someone because God has placed it on our heart to pray for them. Who knows if we have come to the kingdom for such a time as this? And Esther was brought to the kingdom for such a time as this. Do you know, there's a song that says, my mother prayed for me, my father prayed for me, my sister. There are many times we're going through life and we have not prayed, but there are people praying for us. I thank God that I had a praying mother. And now she's in heaven, and I believe she's praying there right now, always for her children, praying for us, praying somewhere. Many of us here sitting have grandmothers and grandfathers who are praying for us. Praying, they've gone home to be with the Lord, and they're praying. Sometimes we face things and we don't even have the strength, and then we get up and have the strength because somebody's praying for us. And so Esther would heed that call, and Esther would go to the king. But here's what she did first. Esther became such a leader of the congregation of the children of Israel, and she called them together. They knew what was planning against them, and she says, I want you to fast. And implicit in that fast was prayer. Because to fast without prayer is just to stop eating food. Right? To fast without praying, if you say you're praying, not when you're fasting to go for, you get your blood taken or something, but to fast without praying doesn't work. So Esther prayed and fasted. And the entire congregation, the people of Israel, fasted and prayed. She became the catalyst of that movement. She became the intercessor that encouraged these folks to pray. And because of that, the hand of evil was turned back. And the children of Israel were saved. And so between that, so that story of Esther, when you read it, it may seem complicated, but that was it in a nutshell. That one woman, Esther, Queen Esther, could get a group of people to come together and fast and pray, and God would move in their lives. And the evil that was coming up against them was turned back. And the person who was perpetrating that evil himself would be destroyed. God answers prayers. And so my focus today, briefly, is on James. The book of James. James is said to be Jesus' half-brother, this James. There are four James in the Bible, but this one is said to be Jesus' half-brother. He did not believe Jesus was the Messiah at the beginning, but he came to believe after he had died. And James would be martyred for the church. And James is speaking to the church, and he says, church, listen, if there's anyone among you sick, is there anybody among you sick or in sin, tell the elders of the church, not in age, but tell the elders of the church, those who are there and know how to pray, tell them, call the elders and ask them to pray. You see, when we bring a prayer request and we bring them up before the Lord here, we're not doing something that is out of fashion. We're doing what the Bible says. He says, tell the elders and they'll pray and they'll anoint you with oil. And the prayer of faith shall heal the sick, but the Lord will raise them up. And the fervent prayer of the righteous availeth much. That means as we continue to pray and seek God's face, it avails much. And then James reminded him, he says, we don't have to believe that we have to be these big spiritual people or know everything to pray, because Elijah was just a man. Elijah was just a man, and Elijah what? He prayed to God for rain to stop, for there to be a drought because there was such evil in the land, and he prayed, and God heard his prayers, and the rain stopped for 3 years. And then he prayed for the rain to come, and God heard his prayers, and the rain came. But he was just a man, and he's encouraging the people to pray, as I encourage you today. And as the Pope kept asking about prayer and speaking about prayer, he says how appropriate it is for the James text this week, that a Pope who is always talking to God, who he thinks to be so spiritual, we believe he is, he's trying to follow the Lord, he himself realizes that he needs prayer. And you know he needs prayer. A man who's 78 years old with one lung, with such a schedule, working so hard, his church is praying for him. Every Roman Catholic church, on every Sunday in one of their prayers, they pray for the Pope, for his life, for health and strength. We pray for each other, church. We minimize prayer sometimes. Now today, and she's hungry. Yes. And so today I want to introduce you to a model called ACTS. A-C-T-S. And it's called ACTS. It's a prayer model. And what it tells us, it's on the front of your bulletin. The A in ACTS is for adoration. Right? The C is for confession. The T is for thanksgiving. And the S is for supplication. And what it reminds us that when we go to the Lord in prayer, we shouldn't just always start asking for what we want. Sometimes our prayer life has just become, God, I'm sick. God, I need a job. God, I need a... And we forget thanksgiving. We forget that we should be thanking God. Thanking him for what we have. Our prayers doesn't have to be just one track. Just, this is what I need on a Sunday. This is who is sick. This is who's that. But sometimes it should just be, God, I thank you for my children. I thank you that I have a house to live in. Food to eat. Shelter. There are people who have nothing like that. I thank you that I have a church to sit in. A few dollars in the bank. I just thank you, God. Have you ever just gone to the Lord in prayer just to give him thanks? Thanks for what he has done. Taking care of your children. Giving you beautiful, healthy babies. Grandbabies. Thanking him because you can afford to have these babies. Praises be to God, isn't it? Just a thanksgiving. When you look at your life, songwriter says, and I've seen what God has done, I've got a testimony of all God has done. Thanking him. And also, there should be confession. There are times when we go to prayer, we know that we have done something that isn't right, something has happened, we have been arguing and screaming and yelling with loved ones. We ask God to forgive us. Forgive us of what we have done. Lord, forgive me because I wasn't what I should have been yesterday. If I've sinned against you in thought, word, or deed, forgive me. Confession. And then it should also be, adoration. We love God just because God is God. He created the heaven and the earth. And so our prayer life becomes fuller. And then we bring our supplication. Our supplication should be last. Right? Do we always do the steps? No. But Lord, we must always remember to thank God. If that's the only thing we do, to thank God. To be grateful and thankful for the gifts that we have that others don't have. For the blessings that he has bestowed upon us. For life that we breathe. That we got up this morning. That one, we could put one leg before the next leg, huh? Praise God. We give him thanks because it's a gift from God. It's a blessing. And then we can begin to ask. And so today, you know, we have a baptism, and as I bring this home, sometimes we forget to give God thanks. We should get a spirit of gratitude and live a life of gratitude and thanksgiving. And it will inform our prayer life. And so today, as I want to bring this home, for we have the baptism, prayer is a mystery. And so I want to do one quick demonstration of what a mystery looks like. A mystery is something that happens that we don't understand. We're trying to figure it out, right? And so this symbol here, this water that I have brought out, Zamzam, are you there?
Yes.
Many of you have been given, you've been given little slips. When you came in this morning, you were given white slips. And many of you write your prayers on little white pieces of paper normally. We have these little prayer cards under here. We'll move this over, then we'll move it back. But a mystery is something we don't understand, right? And I want to give you a feeling of what I believe happens when we send our prayers up to the Lord. So these little white slips that you've written your names on, your prayer request on, that we don't see, there's some, if there's anybody else that have others, bring it up, please. As opposed to the regular card, these are called, it's dissolving paper. And this is a symbolism of what we believe happens in prayer. Look what happens when we put the prayers. Zamzam is going to bring the prayer request that she has. Right, you have to, why do we have to read them? All right, so go ahead and, yes, please, whichever one you normally, we could put our prayer request. Go ahead, Zamzam. Is it a prayer of thanksgiving or it's a prayer of, all right? And so she's going to read some of them, but look what happened to this prayer request. Because we know that God knows what's on this prayer request, don't we? When you put this paper in this water, as you put it in, it's a symbol of what I believe happens in prayer. The paper dissolves. It is a dissolving paper that we use in prayer services all the time. As a symbol of saying, we have given it to God, and once you put it in, it dissolves. No one sees what you've written. And then we pray over the water, and we believe by faith that God has received your prayer request. Right? So give me the ones that you don't have to read and the ones that you have to read. I'm going to put in the ones that, whatever you have in here, do you have to read this one?
This one I have
okay.
to read.
Okay. Here's another one that we have. You put it in, and it will dissolve. Whatever you have asked God for, and because it's a mystery, we are believing by faith that God knows what's written on it. All right? That God will receive it and knows. Go ahead, my sister.
Have my home in Florida intact and debt-free so I can return to it. For forgiveness, peace, and love with entire family and friends.
Amen. And so we're putting that in it, and we believe that God will hear and answer prayers. And so what I want to do once a month, we will have, you'll get those little